And we're looking at Peter's path to denial. Peter's path to denial. Last week, we saw the illegal trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw just how many laws had been broken from the arrest taking place at night, from the venue of the trial itself. We saw the discrepancy of the witnesses and how they were treated. And if you like, at the same time that the illegal trial, physical trial of the Lord Jesus Christ is going on, there is a spiritual trial going on in the life of Peter. And what takes place next in Peter's life gives us an insight into the victories and defeats in the life of the Christian. Peter had a very definite path that led towards his denial of the Lord. And if we can glean an insight into this path that Peter trod, then it will help us when it comes to our own spiritual victories in our spiritual walk with the Lord. John chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 15. We'll read right the way down to 27, but we're only going to cover about four or five verses this morning. John chapter 18 and verse 15, and it says this: "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter had cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this day, for this opportunity to gather around your word. And Father, even though we meet in difficult circumstances, even though the world at this very moment is in a mess, is in turmoil, Father, we pray that we would use every opportunity we have to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our commission is not to fix the world's problems. Our commission is not to battle against what is happening in this world. Our commission is to preach the gospel. And Father, we pray that we would use every opportunity to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask now this morning that you would help us to recognize the dangers that may appear in our lives that would be a warning sign that we are indeed on a similar path that Peter trod on his way to deny the Lord. So Father, we just pray that you would help us to learn from Peter's example, and that we might be able to apply this word to our hearts and to our lives, that we might be able to be the light that you need us to be in this dark and desperate day. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So first of all, before we get into the outline of the message, we just give a little background as to what is going on. In verse 15, we see Peter is following Jesus, and there is also another disciple. And this disciple had some kind of influence, both with the high priest and the members of his staff. The text says that this disciple was known to the high priest. The word used is nostos, suggesting more than just a nodding acquaintance. Some commentators have decided that it was somebody with considerable influence, maybe Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, who were both members of the Sanhedrin. Others would suggest that this is possibly John, as we know from a later account that there was a relation of John within the court itself. We don't know what connections John had fully in Jerusalem, but he certainly writes as an eyewitness of what follows. Whoever the other disciple was, he was able to enter unchallenged. And perhaps seeing Peter standing forlornly at the gate, he went back out, had a word in the servant girl's ear in charge of the gate, and secured Peter's admission. Peter ends up, though, in this process, denying the Lord. So how did Peter get to this point? It wasn't something that happened quickly. Now, we are oftentimes quick to judge Peter. We are oftentimes quick to say, oh, I can't believe he did that. In the upper room, the Lord said that's exactly what he would do. And and he said he would never do that. He would never deny the Lord. And we are so quick to be hard on Peter. But can I say this? Many Christians are guilty of denying the Lord Jesus Christ, doing just the same thing as Peter did, but we happen to do it in a number of different ways, not just with our words. Sometimes we deny the Lord in the way in which we live our lives. We can deny the Lord in our conversation. Matthew 10:33, the Lord said, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." How many of us have failed to take the opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord, even when it arises in conversation, even when somebody swings the door wide open for us to be able to talk about the Lord? Do we kind of gingerly close that door, maybe hoping that they won't ask us those type of questions again? We can deny the Lord in our conversations. We ought to talk differently. But yet, I've heard it said oftentimes, when somebody then pipes up and says, oh, I'm a Christian. That shouldn't come as a surprise to people. You know, if we said to somebody, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shouldn't turn around and say, oh, I never would have guessed. You know, you don't talk any differently. Your language is no different. And our conversations, the way in which we talk and the nature of our conversations, we can deny the Lord in our conversations. We can deny the Lord in our conduct. Actions do speak louder than words. And sometimes our actions do not indicate that we are Christians at all, especially when we are hypocritical, especially when we are sensual, especially when we are inconsistent, especially when we are carnal, especially when our behavior would bring a bad report to the one which we claim is our Savior. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We ought not to be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought not to cower in the corner when we have an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord. We can deny him in our conflict with God's will and God's word. The amount of times, and you are probably as a church fed up of me saying this, but the amount of times that I have heard somebody say, I know God's word says, but. I know God's word says I shouldn't do this, but. I know God's word says I should do this, but. I know God's word. If you know God's word says it, then do it. If you know God's word says it, then don't do it. You know, whatever it is, if God is telling us to do something, do it. If God is telling us to not to do something, don't do it. Do not use the excuse of, I know God's word says, but. We can deny him when we're in conflict with God's will and God's word. Jonah denied the Lord when he ran from God, running away from the will of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And our attitude should be the attitude of the psalmist. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. When we examine Peter's life, we can see the path that he was treading on the way to deny the Lord. And I just want us to look at Peter's path to denial so that we can see the warning signs. As we were driving to church this morning, there was a big red warning sign came up on our car because we had to put coolant in or something. So we had to stop to get coolant because I know if we do not obey the warning signs, that's not a good thing. And I've learned from my lessons. Mum, I'm sorry that I ruined you a Nissan Micra because I didn't put oil in the car when the warning sign clearly said there needed to be oil and I ruined your engine. But I've learned from my mistake because I disregarded the warning sign back then when I was an 18-year-old who thought he knew everything and I'll be all right. The light's only been on for like 2 weeks. It'll be okay. I'll do it again. Just as we need to heed the warning signs on the engine dashboard, we need to heed the warning signs that God flashes across the dashboard of our hearts when we're starting to head in the wrong direction. There were a few warning lights that flashed across the dashboard of Peter's life. And the first warning sign was bitterness. In John 18 and verse 10, Simon Peter, having a sword drew it, he smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter strove with Malchus and cut off his ear, but then he was rebuked by the Lord for doing this. There was a strife, a battle going on in Peter's life right now. If you remember, we've looked at this in some detail over the past weeks. When the Lord rebuked Peter in the upper room, Peter suddenly went very quiet. And you can see this strife going on in his heart, which can lead to bitterness. And this is exactly what we see in Lot's life. And Lot's path and Peter's path to denying the Lord are quite similar. Genesis 13:7 says, and there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Strife will lead to bitterness. Bitterness will lead to spiritual problems. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. The word defiled comes from the Greek word mianio, which means to dye or stain with another color, to pollute, to soil, or to contaminate. That is exactly the effect that our bitterness will not just have upon ourselves, but will have upon the lives of others as well. I read a really interesting fact. Every year in America, 14 men are killed by soft drink vending machines. How is that even possible? What happens is after not receiving a drink or not receiving the right amount of change, these men shook the machines in rage until the machines fell over and crushed them to death. Each man became a victim of his own bitterness and anger. You can see the bitterness welling up within Peter, and then you can see the outburst of anger as he just slashes his sword towards Malchus. And that's a dangerous weapon, not the sword. The sword wasn't the dangerous weapon in Peter's hand. As we saw, he couldn't even hit the target. The more dangerous weapon in Peter's was in Peter's heart, not in Peter's hand. James says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. The word confusion is from the Greek word akastagesia, which means instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, confusion. It is also translated as commotion in Luke 2:19 and tumults in 2 Corinthians 6:5. If there is bitterness in our hearts, if it goes unchecked, that if that warning light is not heeded, that bitterness will undoubtedly lead to anger, and that anger will spill out and it will affect others. And as a result of that, it will cause us to deny the Lord that gave his life for us upon the cross of Calvary. The one that died upon the cross, whose blood was shed for us so that our lives could be changed, so that we could become new creatures, so that all things could be passed away, so that all things could become new. By allowing that bitterness to dwell in our hearts, allowing that bitterness to overspill into anger and to affect others, will affect our walk with the Lord, will affect our fellowship with the Lord, and will affect our effectiveness of being a worthy witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was bitterness a warning sign on this path towards denial, but so was blindness. I know this is a study of John's gospel, but I'm going to look at the other gospel accounts of Peter's denial. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 33 to 35. Matthew 26, verse 33. In verse 33 of Matthew 26, it says, Peter answered and said to him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You might say, well, how is that a blindness? Peter was blind to the things of God, and his eyes were only focused upon himself. Peter answered and said, though all men should be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. Peter said unto him, verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. The focus was on Peter. He was proud. I will never forsake thee. I will never deny thee. I will die with thee. And that claim was tested. And we know that Peter failed that test. And can I say this? Through our walk with the Lord, our faith will be tested at certain points in our lives. I hated tests in school. I couldn't stand tests in school. I thought they were pointless. What? Some of the stuff we learned in school, I've never, ever put into practice. How many of us can honestly say that? Mind you, I'm saying that now. Many of us have ever used Pythagoras' theorem, and I used it all the time in work. So that example doesn't work. But I hated tests in school. I couldn't stand them. I thought they were pointless. But the test in school wasn't to show how clever you were. It was to see how much you'd actually learnt. Our tests from the Lord are not to trip us up, and not to trap us, and not to show us how useless we are. The tests from the Lord are to show how much we've actually learned. Peter hadn't learned his lesson. He needed his pride wiped from under him. He needed to be knocked down a peg or two when it came to his pride. Peter was proud and boastful and overconfident. Paul tells us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Proverbs tells us that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We are to be God-dependent people. We're not to rely upon self. We're not to rely upon our own strength. We're not to act independently from the Lord. Otherwise, we are just going to be headed for trouble. Our focus ought not to be upon ourselves. Our focus ought not to be upon things. Because that's when we become deceived, when we think things can satisfy us. Let me tell you something. Everything that we have held so dear over these past years, over these past few months, a lot of those things have been removed from us. And we've recognized and realized the fact that, guess what? We don't need a lot of those things in our lives to recognize how blessed we actually truly are. When a lot of those things have been taken away from us, maybe we've appreciated our relationship with the Lord a little bit more. When we focus upon ourselves, when we focus upon things, we'll be distracted. And our attention and our energy is focused in the wrong place. Colossians says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Where is our focus right now? Is our focus upon the Lord? Or is our focus upon things? Is our focus upon money? Is our focus upon people? What do we prioritize in our lives? Is our relationship with the Lord top priority? Is that the first place we head to at the start of every day? Peter was blind. That was a warning sign on his path towards denial. He was blind to the things of God and he thought, I can do this. And I say to you that when we get to the point where we think, I can do this, I can get through this, I can make a way through these difficulties, we're on a slippery slope downwards, because that is just pride. Not only was the bitterness a warning sign and the blindness a warning sign, but there was a banishment. Now, when I say banishment, what I mean is that Peter, if you like, banished himself. Look at Matthew 26 and verse 58. We're in Matthew at the minute, so if you keep your, if you just maybe turn over a page, Matthew 26 and verse 58, it says, but Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Peter followed the Lord from afar. It's the same kind of language we have when it came to Lot, the same pattern of defeat by separating, when Lot separated himself from Abraham's influence. Genesis 39, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, Abraham said, I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Then Lot chose in verse 11 of Genesis 13, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. When we lose our walk with the Lord, when we lose the influence of godly Christians, when we banish ourselves from the fellowship of the saints, when we banish ourselves from walking with the Lord, when we follow him from afar, as it were, that is a warning sign on the dashboard of our hearts that we are heading in the wrong path. We will open the door of our heart to other influences, and we kind of shut the door of our heart to the influence of the Lord. The Lord is not able to fellowship then. When we kind of shut the door to him and open the door to other influences, when we banish ourselves from the Lord's influence and the Lord's people's influence, and we sit and warm our hands, as it were, by the devil's fire, it's as if the Lord is knocking on the door of our heart, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. James says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When we stop walking with the Lord, when we, if you like, follow from afar off, when we stop fellowshipping with believers, then it leads to spiritual trouble. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The wrong crowd can have a detrimental effect upon us and their influence can cause us to deny the Lord, and that leads to defeat. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. Peter, we see here, followed the Lord afar off. But if you look at the language of John chapter 18 and verse 18, it says that Peter stood with them. So he follows the Lord afar off, but he stands with the wrong crowd. We have heard those words before. Right after telling us how Jesus boldly proclaimed himself as the I Am to the arresting officers and their men, John says in verse 5 of John chapter 18 that Judas stood with them. Now we read that Peter stood with them. It was a dishonorable position for a disciple. It is always dangerous for the Lord's people to put themselves in compromising positions, and it's always dangerous to warm our hands by the devil's fire. Mention that this is a charcoal fire suggests here that we have a story of an eyewitness account. The servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Peter warmed himself with the enemies of Christ. He put himself in a situation of temptation. He put himself there. He banished himself. He stood afar off from the Lord. He stood with the wrong crowd, and he put himself into temptation. Joe said on Tuesday night in the ladies' meeting, if you struggle with certain things, when she was looking at the temptation of David with Bathsheba, if you struggle with certain things, don't put yourself in harm's way. If David struggled with, you know, having a wandering eye, then he shouldn't have put himself in a position to be able to see Bathsheba in that way. If you struggle, you know, as Joe said, if you struggle with bad language, then don't watch things that have language in it to influence you to speak that way. It's just like an alcoholic. If an alcoholic struggles and doesn't want to fall off the wagon, as it were, he doesn't put himself in that position. He doesn't put himself where he could be tempted in any way, shape, or form to lose that testimony, as it were. Don't put yourself in a position, because people do the same thing today, whatever it is, whether it's alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, whatever it is. Don't put yourself in a position where you could be tempted to do the wrong thing. Flee from fleshy lust. Sorry, as Peter said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lust. How rich that comes from Peter. But Peter had obviously learned his lesson by that charcoal fire, by that coal fire that day. Peter recognized what he had did was wrong, and he was able to write to the church then later on and say, listen, I'm speaking from experience. Don't put yourself in that position in the first place. Heed the warning signs that flash upon the dashboards of your heart. Peter had banished himself, followed the Lord afar off, and was warming his hands by the devil's fire. Look at Luke 22 and verse 54. Luke 22 and verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And then verse 55 says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Peter sits with the enemies of the Lord. Lot did that when he sat at the gates of Sodom as one of the leaders of the city. Genesis 19 and verse 1. And they came two angels of Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Sin is progressive. You see the path that Peter is taking. You see the bitterness welling up in his heart, which led to an overflow of anger. You see a blindness to God's word, and the focus was upon himself. Then you see a banishment. He follows the Lord afar off, and then he sits down and stands among the wrong crowd, and then sits down amongst the wrong crowd. And how is that an example of Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's exactly what Peter did. But sin is progressive. There were warning signs along the way. Sin takes you further than you want to go and will always cost you more than you want to pay, and it will always keep you there longer than you wanted to stay. And then finally, we see another warning sign that Peter is on the path to denial is a battle. Look at Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. And we'll read from verse 66. Mark 14, verse 66. It says, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agree thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. There is undoubtedly a battle going on in Peter's heart. We've looked at the bitterness and the blindness and the banishment, and there's this turmoil going on. There's that battle, the spirit battling against the flesh. Peter wanting to do the right thing. I won't deny you, Lord. I won't, I'll die with you. Peter wanting to do the right thing, and then having a desire to do the easy thing. There are often warning signs during a battle when things are not going right. A line of defense is broken. And you have a warning sign that the enemy is getting a foothold. And we face a spiritual battle every single day. And the Lord has been gracious enough to give us warning signs when the battle is getting away from us. Peter was told, you will deny the Lord. Mark 14, 30, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. How gracious of the Lord to give Peter a warning sign. Now, Mark's gospel is an account of Peter's sermons. So this is Peter's first-hand experience to Mark. We're not told of two cock crows in the other gospels. But look at this. In verse 68, he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. That was a warning sign to Peter. When the cock crows the first time after his first denial, that was his warning sign. The Lord Jesus Christ said that before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. The crowing of the first cock should have been the warning sign for Peter. Peter goes on to deny the Lord two more times before he hears the second crow. Peter denies the Lord and curses, and he's defeated because he didn't heed the warning signs. Lot was defeated when he lingered in Sodom. His heart was there. His roots were too deep into the lifestyle of the city. He had to be dragged out of the city. While he lingered, the men laid upon him his hand and upon his hand for his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. We know the sordid details of what happens next in Lot's life. When his daughters make their father drink wine and they have an incestuous relationship with them, and they have two, Lot has two children by his daughters. The firstborn was Moab, and the second was Benoni, which was the father of the Ammonites. The Moabites and the Ammonites were bitter enemies of Israel all their days. All because Lot didn't heed the warning sign because of the battle that was going on. Peter had the perfect warning sign. He didn't hear it. Maybe because he was so focused upon self-preservation. Maybe because he was so frightened of the outcome. Maybe because he was more fearful of man than he was of God. There was definitely a battle going on in Peter's life. But we also know that there was a battle going on for Peter's soul. Because if the devil could get a hold of Peter, if the devil could make Peter simply another pointless voice, as it were, if the devil could get Peter to become another one of those hypocritical type of Christians that would say one thing and do another thing, then the devil had a little victory. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, Peter, I have prayed for you, that Satan won't grab hold of you, that Satan wouldn't be able to sift you as wheat. And praise the Lord, we know the rest of the story. Satan didn't get a foothold in Peter's life. Because Peter goes on to preach one of the greatest sermons in Jerusalem, where thousands and thousands of people come to know Christ as their Savior. Again, you know, when people are numbered in the Bible, it's usually the men of a certain age. So when we're told of those thousands coming to know Christ, when we looked at the feeding of the 5,000, we said that there was possibly 20,000 people there, including women and children. So there was more than just the 3,000 saved on that one day. How incredible, you know, when people say, oh, we've lost the battle, but not the war. Peter may have lost this particular battle, but how gracious of our Lord to pick him back up and to be able to use, for all intents and purposes, a useless, worthless vessel like Peter. Can I say this? Heed the warning signs. Maybe there is something that's gone on in our lives where we have got a real bitterness in our heart. Maybe we are bitter towards others. Maybe somebody at some point has done something or said something and we are just so bitter towards them that we can't stand to look at them. And because they just happen to be in the same church, we don't want to be in God's house. We don't want to be around God's people because of that one particular person or that one particular instant. And you might not even remember why you are bitter towards that person, but you just know that you are. Maybe you're bitter towards God. Maybe God hasn't answered a prayer the way you think he should have. Maybe God hasn't given you what you think you deserve. Maybe God hasn't done something that you feel like he should have come through for. And maybe you're bitter towards God. Can I say that it's a warning sign? Because that bitterness will lead to anger, and that anger will eventually come out, and it won't just affect you. Yes, bitterness destroys from within, but as we said last week, one rotten apple in a basket of fruit will affect the whole fruit. Your bitterness coming out in anger will affect somebody else. But more importantly, it'll cause you to deny the Lord. It's a warning sign. Maybe there's a blindness towards the word of God. You know what God's word says. You know what God's word is telling you to do. You know what God's word is telling you not to do. But you'd rather work things out yourself. rather than waiting on the Lord and renewing your strength and mounting up with wings as eagles, you'd rather fix things yourself. There are some things we ought not to meddle with. There are some things that we just can't fix. Don't be blind to the things of God. Don't focus upon self and think that we can do this. Put your focus upon the Lord. Maybe there's a warning sign of banishment. Maybe you've withdrawn from church. You know, I understand that there are people who are afraid to come back to church because of the coronavirus, but there's lots of people who haven't come back to church since the lockdown has ended. Maybe you've withdrawn yourself. And that's not, I'm not just talking about our church, I'm talking about a lot of churches. Not just in Wales, in the UK, in America. There are people who have not gone back to church since we've been given the green light to resume services. And maybe there's a banishment. Maybe you've withdrawn from your walk with the Lord. Maybe you've withdrawn from the fellowship of other believers. And maybe you've followed the Lord afar off. Yeah, you might still be doing your devotions, and yeah, I'll get my tick in the box because I've done my devotions, but you're following the Lord from afar off, and it's a lot easier to stand with the wrong crowd and eventually to sit down with them. When you sit down, that's when you become comfortable. We ought not to be comfortable in the world. We ought not to be comfortable standing with the wrong crowd. It ought to make us uncomfortable when we hear their conversations, when we hear what's coming out of their mouths. Because we're not to be of the world, even though we are in the world. And maybe the warning sign of that battle is going on. Maybe that warning sign that you are losing a foothold in your spiritual battle. Maybe you're not putting your armor on as you should. Maybe you're not preparing yourself every day as you should. You know, oftentimes, the greatest battle is after we've already won a victory. Because that's when we let our guard down. That's when we feel like we're untouchable. Don't take your focus off the battle. Keep putting that armor on every single day. Heed these warning signs, because every single one of them is a warning sign that we are on the path to denying the Lord. And we can sit here in judgment of Peter all we like and say, well, he should have done this and he should have done that and he shouldn't have done this and he shouldn't have done that. But when we're really true to ourselves, we probably deny the Lord far more than just three times every single day in the way that we act, in the way that we think, in the way that we speak. Heed the warning signs. Bitterness, blindness, banishment, battles. Because they are warning signs that God has given us that we're on a path to denying his name. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this day and this time together. Thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. Lord, I just pray for every single person that is listening to this message today, whether live, whether later on, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to hearts. Maybe there is a warning sign that's flashed upon the dashboard of somebody's heart this morning where they recognize they're not where they need to be in their walk with the Lord. Father, I pray that that would be put right today. I pray that they would come before the foot of the cross, as it were, with repentant hearts, just asking for you to forgive them so that their walk with you might be restored, that their fellowship with you might be restored, that if they've denied you in any way, shape, or form in the way in which they've lived their lives, and Father, would you forgive us? Would you help us? And would you enable us to be the witness that we need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in these difficult days in which we find ourselves living right now. Father, I just pray that your will would be done in each and every one of our lives, especially here at our church, Lord. We just ask that you would guide us, you would direct us, that you would be the focal point of all that we do, and every decision that we make would be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray and ask these things now in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, we close our service out this morning by singing our last hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And I wonder if you can say the same thing this morning. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Is it well with your soul? Are you in a right relationship with the Lord? Is it well with your soul? Is there something you need to put right with God right now so that you can say that you have that peace of God which passeth understanding? Is it well with your soul today? Amen.
Let this bless us, oh,
the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a point in your life where you recognize that you were sin, the fact that you've broken God's law, that you've even told one lie, ever taken God's name in vain, that one breaking of God's law, that one sin is enough to keep you out of heaven? Has there been a point in your life where you've recognized that you've sinned, that you've called upon the name of the Lord, believing that Christ died upon the cross of Calvary for your sins, and that He and He alone is the only way of salvation? If there's never been a point in your life where you've done that, then you need to do that today. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what the next moments will bring in our lives, and death could come at any time. James says our life is but a vapor. It is here and then disappears in a moment. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then you cannot go to heaven without the Savior. You cannot go to heaven based upon your good works. You can't go to heaven because you've attended a few church services in your life. You can't go to heaven because you own a Bible. You can only go to heaven by putting your faith and trust in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that this morning? Would you admit that you're a sinner? Would you pray to God, God, I've sinned. Would you forgive my sins? I believe that Jesus died on the cross and I am repentant. I turn my back on that old life and I turn to you, and you alone is the only means of salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe in our heart that God raised his Son from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. Would you do that this morning? You too can then say, it is well with my soul. Christian, if there is something off in your life, if there are any of those warning signs we've talked about have flashed upon that dashboard of your heart, then would you put that right today so that you too can say, it is well with my soul, that my fellowship has been affected with my God, and I want to put that right this morning. Would you do that as we close in prayer? Would you do that today so as we prepare to come around the Lord's table this evening, we can do that with our hearts fully prepared so that we don't eat or drink unworthily? Whatever the need is here today, I pray that the Lord would meet that need, especially if it's a spiritual need here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time together today. Thank you for those who have taken the time to gather around whatever screen it is they gathered around this morning, wherever in this country or around the world they may be. Father, we're thankful for the reach that our online ministry has, for the people who have joined us, Lord, from Africa, South Africa, from America, from here in the UK. But Father, each and every one of us, even though separated by all of these distances, for those who know Christ as their Savior, are united with that common bond, a part of an incredible family. Father, we just pray that you would speak to each heart here as we close in prayer. And that, Father, if there's a need of salvation, that wherever that person is, that you would just touch their heart this morning, that they would be under such conviction, that they would be without a shadow of a doubt that they need to call upon you for forgiveness of sins and for a home in heaven. And then, Father, for those who have these warning signs flashing across their hearts, Lord, would you help us to put these things right in our lives, that we may never, ever deny you. Father, you've done so much for us. You gave up so much for us. How dare we not be willing to just simply take a stand for you and tell somebody about the love of Christ and the power of the cross of Calvary. Father, would you just continue to speak to our hearts as we meditate upon the message for the remainder of this day, and would you prepare our hearts for this evening as we come around your table, and we'll be mindful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.